Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and we are in the second half of July, which is sort of odd to kind of wrap your head around. But thank you to all the loyal listeners who have stayed loyal to the station and your support and all the wonderful shows that the station sponsors. And so thank you again for listening and tuning in. And on the line with me today is Claire Martin, and she will be talking about her new endeavors. And she was in the studio with me 3 years ago, which is like, what? Wow. If you didn't have a chance to listen to those episodes, you may go to the website, krbs.org, go to Audio On Demand, and pull up the dates 8/17/2017 and 9/14/2017. And then her name, Claire Martin. And you'll hear her talk about how she got into writing and poems and her two manuscripts. So, welcome, Claire. Thank you for calling in today and sharing. And so just kind of give us a background on this new manuscript that you're preparing and, you know, the kind of the journey between the first two that you did and this one.
Well, thank you, Esther, for having me on again. I know times are strange, but you're navigating everything very well, and I'm just really appreciative to KRVS for staying on the air, getting our programming, all the wonderful programming that they have.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so glad that, as a host, you invited me back, because there's so many things that je savais pas, that I don't know.
Right.
And I know listening to your show, I learned quite a bit, so I appreciate that.
Well, wonderful. Well, that was the whole kind of incentive behind getting the show started, is, and then especially with the lockdown, just kind of helping people find some creative things to do with all the extra time and being quarantined and, you know, being laid off and furloughed and things like that. So,
yeah.
You know, I was mentioning that a whole bunch of people just jumped into gardening, which was awesome. And then also into doing things that they'd been wanting to do for a while. So I've been trying to bring in guests that will kind of give them some more information if they feel like they're kind of not really sure which direction to go or what to do next, and kind of inspire them to continue that. You know, it's great just to work through. It's just all the stress of what's going on. It's great to be able to sit down with a paintbrush and dabble, or with your hands and build something or make something, or to pick up a pen and write something. So, and then too, it's always fun to bring a guest back in when they have a new project and let them describe the process and how things have changed and what they've learned and how they've grown. And, you know, also kind of let people know that being an artist, it's not about being a professional, although we do need our professional artists, but it's also, you know, that you grow as you experiment and as you explore and as you try. So, you know, thank you. And so let's kind of get started with that discussion. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I know a lot of people know me as a poet, and actually, when the day that I decided to commit to a working life as a poet, I even created like business cards that said poet, and that it had my contact information.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of a little joke. But still, you know, I made a commitment back in 2012 to dedicate myself to the writing life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a wonderful journey. And I know we're in the midst of a pandemic, and I found that the poetry community has been reaching out virtually. Excuse me. And there's been lots of virtual poetry readings happening.
Right.
And there will be one happening. You can find out on Facebook. It's called Pieces of Hope.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to happen on July 29th. That's a Wednesday evening.
Okay.
And I will be reading as part of that series. And so it's really wonderful to know that people that share artistic affinities want to reach out at this time.
Right.
And really support each other.
Right. Stay connected and share
yes.
and find ways to get their work out and you know, not worry about being in public or what all the regulations are. So,
I
know I've heard a lot about different things online And I think even some of the musicians have sort of done virtual concerts and things. So it's just interesting to watch the reactions of artists and the kind of creative ways to continue to do their work, but also present it to or have it made available to people for them to enjoy as well.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that we are talking about my poetry today. And you and I had a little conversation about me playing guitar, but it's really interesting that prior to the pandemic, I was working really, really with deep commitment to a manuscript called Black Horse Night, mm-hmm. which I'm hoping will be a full-length collection of poems that explore the relationships between humans and horses.
Mm-hmm.
Horses have a significant impact in my waking and dream life ever since I was a child. And it's really quite phenomenal that I've had, as an adult, really significant evocative dreams where I dream and a horse will come into the dream. And it usually has deep symbolism for mm-hmm. me. Of the self, of the recognition of the challenges that I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And the horse is like a guide, like a dream guide that will take me out of whatever stressful situation I'm in the dream, which mm-hmm. would be reflected in my waking life. You know, so it's the consciousness speaking to me through the symbolism of horses.
Right.
So those horse dreams all of my life have informed the creative work that I do. And I found when I was looking through, actually a couple of years ago, I was looking through my poems that were not in a collection.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them, even the ones that have been published in books, have a horse image in them or a horse metaphor. And so I just saw this through line of all the horses that had come into my poetry and decided to gather up those poems and pull them into a manuscript of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have found that the work has been, has had a lot of horsepower. You know, there's been a lot of momentum with these poems.
Uh-huh.
One will lead to another. And I do have a few that I'd like to read today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but what I was going to say about the pandemic is, I mean, up until the day before shutdown, which was a Sunday. I think the shutdown was a Monday morning when Governor Edwards put the executive order in place or the stay-at-home order.
Mm-hmm.
Even up to that moment, I was writing. But when the shutdown happened and that reality hit and the trauma, I found that I was not able to write. So I turned to my guitar. And I find that when I'm not writing, when I don't have words, when I can't conjure them,
mm-hmm.
that if I can turn to music, it soothes my soul. So in times of grief or stress, I find myself turning to music rather than words, which is interesting. And I actually have sort of dabbled a little bit with songwriting,
mm-hmm.
and my songs are very poetic, as you can.
Well, absolutely.
They're not mainstream material, but they're very important to mm-hmm. me as far as my creative growth and my spiritual growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've said it often, and you know, it's always nice to have a secondary expression that, you know, if one feels like I think I've milked this. I need to let it rest for a bit. But you have something else to turn to express yourself and sort of navigate through and then maybe get some ideas for the other art form. And they kind of collaborate and one can rest and one can get used. And it's kind of like, you know, a farmer in his field. He lets it rest, then he'll change his crops so that it, you know, it's not constantly being used for the same thing. So I've often said that nature teaches us a lot about just creativity and balancing the different, you know, expressions and our emotions and in our endeavors. So it's interesting how you came about with the idea in your poems through your dreams and things. And that was one of the questions I wanted to ask, is what kind of inspired you to work on this manuscript and collect it with that sort of theme of horses.
Yeah.
And
well, when I was a child, I was very much, you know, a little girl in love with horses, and mm-hmm. you know, seeing them, getting an opportunity to ride them. I actually had relatives that had horses, so I was my summers would be spent with them, mm-hmm. and I got to have, you know, firsthand experiences with horses. And then in my freshman year of high school, I had a classmate who had a horse, and I would ride the bus home with her, and the stables where she kept her horse were not far from her home, so we would walk mm-hmm. to the stable after school and tend to her horse and feed it and, you know, clean its stall, you yeah. know, muck out the horse manure,
right.
and give it hay and brush it and clean its hooves. And mm-hmm. she really taught me a lot about, you know, caring for a horse. And I ended up just begging my parents, please get me a horse. Please, I can't live if I need a horse. And wouldn't you know, it just surprised me. We had gone to a stable that was closing, and the people had some horses that had never been ridden. They were just like pasture horses.
Uh-huh.
And there was a mare that they were going to sell with the saddle for $150.
Wow.
And my parents took me to the stable, and they said, well, this is the horse. And I pet the horse, you know, pet her. It was a mare, and I pet her forehead. And when I walked away, the horse followed me, and I said, oh, that's it.
Sweet.
And I said, I want this horse. I want this horse. And my parents went ahead and bought the horse for me. And she and I just had a relationship that was so deep and, mm-hmm. and powerful. And I wasn't so much into, like, riding the horse for training it for any particular
right.
purpose. It was pure pleasure.
Yeah.
And she was, she ended up getting colic and and she was put to sleep while I was at school and not informed about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came home from school one day, I asked my mother, I said, we need to go to the stables right now because I know Nakona is sick. And my mother had this strange smile on her face, and she looked scared, and she said, Nakona's dead.
Aww.
We had to put her to sleep. And it was just so devastating. And the thoughts of Nakona have permeated my life ever since.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been that trauma and the inability for me to be able to say goodbye to her.
Right.
Because her her carcass, her body, was left under a little strand of trees for a few days because they were waiting for a backhoe
mm-hmm.
to come and dig the hole to put the horse
right.
in the ground. And I wanted to see her. I wanted to see her so badly, and I was not allowed to.
Aww.
So the only thing that I was able to do was speak to my friend who had her horse there
mm-hmm.
and ask her to describe Nakona for me.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's an image that I never saw for myself, my imagination has been fired with it for, you know, these 45 years.
Yeah.
You know, not 45 years. I'm not that old. I'm sorry. 30-something years, let's say. 30-something years.
Yeah, well, what a neat way to preserve, you know, a memory and to, a pet by, you know, writing about it.
Yeah.
So, do you have near next to you one of the early poems for this project that you wrote?
I have, let's see. I have a poem here that'll give some insight. So here it is. It's called A Girl's Dream.
Okay.
Come to my palm where sugar waits for your grasping lip, your agile seeking tongue. Follow a pocket full of hay to still secret whippoorwill woods beyond the gate, beyond my mother's knowing. Whether asleep or awake, we are bounded, and I conjure the word to name you. Black eyes, red mane, specks of white and brown. Appaloosa, the fury you wield is calmed by my hand. On your back, I am a sleeping god. Summer tumbles into autumn. Calloused hands grip brains and shovels and rakes to muck out the stall. Our symbiosis, sympathetic magic drawn on my childhood like the parietal paintings in the caves of Lascaux. So that's just one.
Wow.
Right there.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and on the line with me is Claire Martin. She's describing and discussing her journey as a writer and a poet in her sort of collection of poems about horses. So what have you noticed that in as you've, you know, grown as a writer and a poet, like, have you gotten bolder in your endeavors? Has your process changed? How you come about writing down what you have in what you're thinking, what your thoughts are?
Yes, I would think so. I think the space between actively writing and letting the voice and letting the imagination work in silence, mm-hmm. there's more of a gap between those two.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think of not writing as writer's block or anything like that.
Right.
Because I really have come to respect my own process, which may be different from, you know, anyone else's.
Exactly.
I used to have more of a daily discipline,
mm-hmm.
and my energy was really, really focused on producing poems,
mm-hmm.
and then just following the words wherever they led. But being this project is about horses, I'm letting my subconscious work in the dream state. And I'm also going to a therapist, and my therapist is very much keen on hearing my dreams, and she's familiar with my work. I've seen her for two years
wonderful.
Now. Yeah, and she raised horses, and her parents still do. So she's very much into the horse dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about them, and we kind of try to see what is going on in my life and how did the horse come in and, you know, be a healing balm.
Right.
Most of the time the horse is a healer. And so, you know, that process of, you know, weekly discussions and jotting down my dreams and respecting my dreams for their content and creativity,
mm-hmm.
has really, really helped in this project. And, you know, I'm at maybe 30 pages of poetry.
Wow.
For this project, but I expect to probably try to have at least 50 or 55 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So I could say that this particular book has been being written since I started writing, and even going further back, you know, to those formative times.
Right.
With me and the horses, you know, just seeing, having them in my life, you know, as actual, you know, animals that I would be a caretaker for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a second horse, and his name was Cody after Nakona died. And Cody was taken off of the racetrack. He was a young quarter horse gelding, and he had been taken off of the racetrack to just be sold because he wasn't really fast.
Uh-huh.
But he was way too fast for me and had too much power. And I didn't do very well with Cody. I got thrown off of him.
Oh, no.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you just get back on.
Right. Get up and get back on and keep going.
Get back on, you know.
Absolutely.
Back in the day, I could fall off of a horse and not really break a bone or hurt myself, you know. But there was a lot of grass and soft dirt around. But, yeah, so he was way too much horse for me, and we had to sell him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a different tale, but not as you know,
sad and as emotionally not as distressful
sad, right.
as
right.
losing one because, yeah,
right.
I understand.
So it was just a change in my life right then and there that I actually the change was that I got pregnant as a teenager, and my son was born prematurely, but I was not pregnant when I was riding the horse. Mm-hmm. It wasn't due to that. You know, right. We had already sold the horse. But, yeah, so that was another life change, a very, very deep and impactful life change that disconnected me from having horses, mm-hmm. you know, to own and to ride. So that was, you know, there's a reason I'm in therapy.
Yeah, well, you know, so did you write poems about, you said his name was Kobe? Or
Cody. With K-O-D-Y, Cody. Okay. Cody Rock was his legal name.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was maybe 3 years old, 4 years old, very young and very energetic. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't really written about him. I guess I didn't really bond with him. It was kind of like if you get a puppy after your dog dies, you know,
yeah.
And you want to love that puppy. Maybe some people, you know, can, but you still have that haunting from your previous pet.
Right.
And, you know, it's a way, he was kind of like a rebound horse. And, you know, it was a good thing. He was sold to people that did barrel racing and pole racing. So they put his energy to good use, and they were able to, you know, further train him and, you know, really maximize his capacity.
Right.
You know, as a more energetic horse, I needed what Nakona was. She was a 6-year-old mare that had never been ridden. Mm-hmm. And I had to mule rein train her and then neck rein train her because she had never been ridden. She took to a saddle very easily.
Wow.
You know, when you put the bridle on and you get the bit in her mouth, of course, she kind of fought that a little bit.
Yeah.
But teaching the horse, a very gentle horse, very, very gentle, teaching her where I wanted to go and go forward, mm-hmm. go away from the barn.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get horses to stay away from the barn because that's where they're fed.
Right.
So you have to kind of kick her a little with your boot heel, just a little, not with stirrups.
Right.
But, you know, it was a challenge to ride her because she was just really pokey,
mm-hmm.
you know, slow and pokey and, you know, she would just kind of mosey around
mm-hmm.
and stop to eat grass. I didn't get very far on her.
So all of those memories, you found a way to put that into poems?
Yes.
So in writing, do you have an idea of format, or I forget what the different types of poems there are?
Oh, these are all.
Or you just kind of let them be free? Freeform.
Yeah, they're free verse. Yes, it's free verse. I'll go ahead and read another one if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, I'll read this one. It's called Bondage. This reverence, this sensual connection to power, grace, energy, life, cultivated from the loam of dreams, holy and sharp visuals of carcasses swollen, putrid, worm-filled, no longer racing, no longer breathing warm against my hand, the carrots on sticks to draw the beast into dreams, again into life. To see her only once a day, after school, to feed her, scrape out her hooves, brush her, glide a brush through her tail, carefully place hand on hip, slide the blanket, then the saddle, wait for breath to leave her lungs, so cinch, so gird, tighten, so slip the bridle over her ears to clasp the bit in her mouth. We breathe, we become horse and rider, majestic twinning fury under my cautious hand. I must understand as she understands, no whip, no stick stripped of leaves. I am not in control. I let her wander, take me through ditches filled with rainwater, a leap, adjust the saddle. My boot heel cuts into stirrups. We ride day into night until we are apparitions, weary mothers of this world.
Neato. So have you found in writing that when you go back, like, so you write a poem and you're like, okay, this is done. And then you go back and you read it and you're like, well, I think I have another part to add to it. And I mean, have you ever gone back and amended a poem?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Revision, I dive into revision as much as I, you know, those poems that come out so, you know, lightning fast, some of them really hold on their own, but a lot of, you know, what I do is revision. You know, I will get that material out. It's something that George Marx, the painter, mm-hmm. who lives, who's in Arneville with Nunu's, he described something once about his approach to a blank canvas. He says he just dumps his brain out, you know, and that's kind of what I do on paper. I'll dump my brain out. And then from there, I'll see maybe a phrase or a line or, you know, a word or an image, mm-hmm. and I'll build on that. So it's very much a craft. You know, I do believe in revision, you know, wholeheartedly, and that, you know, you need to polish a work. But sometimes poems do come out nearly whole or whole, and then you can look at them and say, I've tinkered with those kinds of poems, and I usually go back to the first draft, mm-hmm. or an early draft, because something was really tugging at my subconscious, and these words flow out, and they have a rhythm and a grace on their own, so I will respect that, mm-hmm. you know, and I've been able as an artist to be able to recognize when those works are strong and solid, and then when the work needs revision and needs, you know, additional brain power and hand power to be able to shape and cut away and you know, add things to it. So yeah, it's both are true. You know, uh-huh. Those rare poems that come out lightning fast are just, as I said, they're rare,
yeah.
and they're always thrilling. You know, thrilling to come across,
right?
For me as a writer, but the real work is crafting and shaping.
Yeah. Well, neat. So as we begin to wrap up, remind the listeners of the virtual reading.
Called,
and then also mm-hmm. if you have any of your poems online, or if you have any social media or website or email, that if they had further questions, they'd be able to contact you.
Okay, great. Yes, the reading is put on by Festival of Words Cultural Arts Collective, and the reading is called Pieces of Hope, Virtual Open Mic, and it can be found on Facebook, where there will be a link that people can click on, and they will be taken to a Zoom meeting, mm-hmm. where we will be having several poets, maybe from around the country, who will be tuning in on Zoom. And it's July 29th. And it'll be, I think the Zoom meeting starts at about 6:30 p.m. But if they look up Pieces of Hope, they can find it on Facebook.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you, Claire, for calling in today and sharing. You've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at krvs.org. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Be sure to tune in to Encore, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for great Cajun music with me, your host, Megan Constantin.
Hi, this is Glenn Fields. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Over the Map, a brand new radio show Thursday nights at 10 p.m., we're going to listen to all kinds of weird stuff, exotica, Hawaiian music, soul music, jazz, anything. It's going to be all over the map. Who knows what's going to happen? So join me Thursdays at 10 p.m. right here on KRVS.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.